Deuteronomy chapter 4. I am starting late today, so we'll be a touch late. Is that okay? And we got extravaganza downstairs, so nobody wants to leave early. And but anyway, I'm just letting you know, I'm starting to preach 25 minutes late, so it's not me if we go long. Could be partially me, but not all of me. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Hear now, O City Heights. And it says, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws that I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. How many can tell me that that's a good thing? Amen? Yeah, still alive today. That is good. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and the understanding to the nations, who will hear all about these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land. And may you teach them to their children. Lord, I thank you for your commands. I thank you for these young people that have grown up in this church. I thank you, Lord, that they go out as a weapon in your hand. Lord, I pray your word, Lord, the words, the Bibles that were given to them will be indeed a lamp unto their feet. Lord, as challenges come and failure surrounds them, Lord, that you are the thread of success, Lord, that you will guide us through every challenge, Lord, that you will prepare us for every difficulty in our lives. And if we will not forget your precepts, that we would find success and live in that success. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Success. How many people want it? How many people got it? You know, I had scored this Volvo. Some of you know the story of the Volvo. Some of you do not. But it was, what month is this? Yes, it's June. 18 months ago. And it was this beautiful Volvo, and it needed a little bit of work. And we'll do that little bit of work. And Joe, my wonderful son, graduate today, was driving it to school because he liked it. And there was a poof of steam or smoke that came out of the car. He called me, Dad, I didn't do anything wrong. But there was this poof of steam or smoke that came out. And I went to the car, the wonderful car, the blessing, the prize. And there was a pool of oil underneath that car. Now, I don't know if you know about cars, but I will let you know one thing, that a pool of oil is not what you want to find underneath your car. So I attempted to discern what was going on with it, and indeed a calamity had occurred to that car. And the head needed to come off. Now, for those of you untrained in car mechanicking, that means that the top engine, half of the engine needs to be separated from the bottom half of the engine, and it is quite a chore. But my wonderful son and I, we worked on that car, and we pulled that head off and got the special Volvo tools that required, put that head back on, and there yet remained a problem. for the smoke was still coming out of the back end of the car. And so we tried and tinkered and realized that the head once again had to come off that car. Went through all the work, pulled the head off, and indeed, yes, the bottom part of the motor, the cylinder itself, was scarred and had to be replaced. I had owned this car for 6 months and driven it for one. But Pastor Dave, driving through past this great country, was able to pick up for me a brand new used motor. Salt Lake City, as he was coming from Minnesota to, or Iowa now, to San Diego. Got that motor, got a hookup with George, got it put in my car. I'd owned this car now for close to a year and had driven it 1 month. But things were going good. Noticing other little things rattling, getting those rattles fixed. I just loved that car. It cost me so much, but I loved that car. I was riding in my prize. And then I noticed a little chirp. Chirp, 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 as I was driving. I didn't know what it was, and I took it to my friend over there on Fairmont, the starter repair guy, and I said, there's something chirping there. Oh, you can't find that. It's a hard thing to find. But it'll get worse, and then you'll be able to find it. I took it over to Jesus at Eddie's used tire. I said, oh, I can't find out where that little noise is coming from. And you know, the cares of life, the challenges of life, you know, they kind of spring up on you. You know, I'll get to it later. Well, amazingly, as JJ and I were driving down Highway 15, I heard a clunk. Boom! And all of a sudden, it was time indeed to get to that little chirping noise. The car stopped, and we got it towed and took it over to Jesus at Eddie's Used Tires and indeed found that the valve was bent. And once again, the head needs to come off that motor. So, yes, I have now owned that car for 18 months, driven it for about 1 month. And even when you're driving your prize, failure can find you. Today we're reading about the failure of the Hebrews. They are on the edge of the promise. Their second time in. Their fathers had failed 40 years before entering the promised land. Seeing the hand of God, the miracles of God, power of God, got to the very edge of the promise. Talked about this last week and failed before they even got there. Live our lives surrounded by failure. Title of message is Finding Life in the Midst of Failure. I hope you young people have been prepared. We have done our best. Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. You have indeed been given a foundation, a wealth of knowledge and understanding, just being able to open this book and find the truth of God, the wisdom of God, to be able to apply to the challenges that come to you in your life will enable you to pass right through, because failure will come, and the Lord will guide you through. And if you've lost your grasp on him, failure will come. And you'll be all alone. The title of today's message is Finding Life in the Midst of Failure. And we will move rapidly. Here we go. Verse 1. Hear now, O Israel. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws that I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Guidelines for life. Three components of success are outlined in this one verse. Get to the promise, win the promise, and live in the promise. So many people don't make it through all three. You can get derailed in route. Can I get a witness on that? And what we're shooting for is this last one. Live in the promise. Because what good is having the promise if you're dead? Because there's so many people who live their lives just getting to the promise. See, Steve is training for the last year to become a Navy SEAL. We had a Navy SEAL who retired, used to go to this church. He was 30 years a Navy SEAL. See, I don't think Steve just wants to become a Navy SEAL. He wants to be a Navy SEAL. You follow my what I'm talking about here? So you can get to the prime. See, I had my Volvo, but my Volvo broke. I wanted my Volvo to drive, not to have. You get what I'm saying? We want our promise to live in the promise, not just to get there, not just to win it, but once you've got to the promise, once you've won the promise, to live a nice, long life in the promise. Are you tracking with me? Amen. Jews are coming up to the promise second time, getting ready to step in, coming back around on the east side. We showed you some maps last week of the Jordan, getting ready to invade. They had defeated Og, they had defeated Sion, two kings, the Moabite kings that were there, moving in, taking the land. And they're getting ready to move right into the promise. Their fathers hadn't got that far. They had got up to the promise, turned away and said, there's giants in the land, too big for us. And they failed before they got there. Amen. This generation is different. This generation waited in the wilderness 40 years for the previous generation to die. They would indeed pass into the promise. They would indeed find all that they had lived for and fail. Deuteronomy 31. Getting right up to the end of Deuteronomy. God talking to Moses, tells Moses, you can't go. The Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance to the tent, and the Lord said to Moses, Moses, 120 years old. Moses has been leading these people 40 years in the wilderness. You are going to rest with your fathers. Make it plain to you. You're going to die. I'm taking you out. And these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. Failure will find you. It is God who will guide you through. And if you've lost your connection with God, you will be all alone. They failed. Can you imagine what is going on in Moses' heart? You can't go, and they're going to fail. Let me go! I can't. Not how it worked out. Verse 2. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. God's given you a recipe for success. There is success in this book. If you work the book, you will win in your life. There's not a lot of flexibility here. God doesn't want you changing the recipe, changing the mix. He says, this is what you need, and this is all you need. Make sure you get it. Now, I know some of you Bible scholars are probably back there going, wait a minute, this is Old Testament. This really doesn't apply to us today, but this is the beginning of the taking of the land. Very last book of the Bible, end of the book of Revelation, verses 18 and 19, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, I warn everyone. That would be, in Greek, that word for everyone. You know what that means? It means everyone. That means like everybody in this room. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone, notice the parallel. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues. I don't need to go through the plagues today, do I? No, we don't want any of them. God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anybody takes the words away from this book, saying, oh, we don't need that part. This part right here, oh, that's... Anybody who takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city. Don't add anything in. Don't take anything out. It's all you need, and it's what you need. Amen? You follow these plans? Follow these plans. Failure will find you. These plans, this relationship with the Lord will guide you through that failure. You are surrounded by failure. The question is whether that's going to snatch you up. Stand strong in the midst of failure. Amen?
Amen.
Wonderful Mrs. Metz has a dynamic class on Wednesday nights called Standing Strong.
Nope.
What?
It's called Spiritually Fit.
It's called Spiritually Fit. And God has been answering prayers. So tell us about the class. Just give a little short thing on the class. And tell us about this answer prayer.
All right. We have started, some of us have started doing a book. And it's talking about it's being spiritually fit. Because, and also it has a physical fitness component. But the one thing, it has a daily prayer, Bible study prayer, and a physical and a spiritual challenge. So, but it's daily. That's what I think is the key, right? That it's getting to be daily. So.
That's, and there's a miraculous answer to prayer.
Okay.
Brought around Monica.
You know, there has actually been a lot of neat prayers. The last couple weeks, I mean, almost everybody, we'd have a testimony. And Sandra, I'm sharing about our class here. So, the neat thing is that my prayer when we started it, oh, and here's our book right here, is that people would be getting spiritually, it has a physical component, but that they would be getting spiritually strong. We're using this as a tool. And so, and what it is, it's a 6-week daily Bible study. And so a couple weeks ago, we're just kind of, oh, nobody's kind of quite into it. We're just all these, you know, but boy, then 2 weeks ago, people just started doing it every day, and we've had so many praise reports. It's just like the biggest praise report that I feel like I hear that we're hearing from God. People, when you're in the Word, like we're saying to you guys, be in His Word, hide His Word in your heart, that you might know Him, and that way you know how to live. And they're hearing from Him as daily you spend time with God. You know, coming on Sunday, coming on Wednesday is not enough. You will not know
God. But it's a good start.
You know, it's
a good start.
It's, yeah. It's great. It's actually really great because you've stayed connected with other people. But a week or so ago, Moni, I just came and she's just like, Flazer, I go, we just need to pray, honey. And so we just stopped and we prayed. And then, boy, I just saw her a couple days later and she's just like, I had to pull you down from like the 10th floor up there. It was so awesome just sharing how God, even before she could even, I mean, it was just almost immediate, within a day or the next day. And God is answering her prayer for some place to be, to live. And it has just been amazing. She was telling us last week, just like, God, please, you've got to stop blessing me. You just slow, I mean, not stop, but slow down, Lord, because it's just as she's seeking God, as she's daily reading His Word, daily talking to Him, she's just seeing God doing these things. And people are saying He's answering their prayers, understanding, being able to apply what God's Word says, because now they're daily getting into it. There's a lot of testimonies of our ladies, and it's very exciting. And I will tell you, I'm going to do another round of this book. We're in week.
When?
We just finished week 4, so we have 2 more weeks. But we're going to
do
a round
weeks,
again.
So 3 weeks, Wednesday night.
We'll see what day it is, because I want to talk to Pastor Paul about that. But we'll, you know what? If you're interested, it's a great tool to get spiritually strong, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. We have to do. We won't be able to stand if you're not strong. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Metz. Blessing in our home. All righty. Now, but she was 2 minutes longer, so that if you go long, it's not me, it's her. All righty. God's way always works. Every time. Never been a time when I'm working God's way and say, oh, God, you ripped me off. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. You saw with your own eyes, this is Moses talking to this generation. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. We're going to talk about that. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed. That is, God destroyed some of the Hebrews that followed the Baal. Anytime you read Baal, that's the bad guy. the Baal of Peor. Don't name your kid Baal. Don't do it. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. There are penalties for disobedience. This is a covenant treaty. This is a bargain. This is a contract that God makes with his people. I'll be your God, you be my people. And when you are disobedient, you will be punished. When you are obedient, you will be blessed. Actually, the word for punishment is cursed. And you don't want to be cursed by God. Can I get a witness on that? Man, that's the last thing. You can't get out from under a curse from God. The details of the failure at Baal Peor are detailed in Numbers 25. They revolve around a prophet, Balaam. While Israel was standing at Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifices to their god. That's the Baal of Peor. The people ate and bowed down before Baal of Peor, so join in the worshiping of the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. Now, how it worked was there was this Moabite king, get his name right here, Balak, paid Balaam to curse the Jews. I'm going to pay you whatever you need. I'll pay you the going rate. Curse these people for me because they are defeating everybody around me and I am going to be next. And Balaam says, I can't curse them because the Lord says they're blessed. They are traveling underneath my covering. They are traveling underneath my blessings. And so four times he tries and four times he falls short. And the king is saying, hey, I paid you off. You got to hook me up here. And he says, I can't do it. I am bound by what God will let me do. But you could send your women over there. And you can lead them out from under the blessing of God. And that's what he did. The worship of Baal, the fertility god of the Canaanites, agricultural fertility, involved sexual acts in church service. You know, and the Moabite women, you know, grabbing these guys, said, hey, hon, I'm going to church. I'll be back in a minute. No, don't go to that church. God's anger burned against them, killed 24,000. See, there is penalties for disobedience. You can get to the promise and fail. They were moving into the promise and took a left-hand turn big time. They had worshiped Baal. They had found failure. So your failure will find you. God will guide you through. If you don't have God, you'll be all alone in your failure. And you'll just fail. Continue on. Verses 5 and 6. See, I've taught you decrees and laws. The Lord my God commanded me so that you may follow them in the land you are entering and take possession of it. He says, I'm teaching you this stuff so that you're going to get in the land and you're going to win. You're going to get to the promise and win. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who hear all about these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. See, God's looking for a witness. And as you line up on him, he lines up on you. And he will give you success because your success brings glory to him. Here, Monica saying, man, God's got to just slow down on this blessings. I can't handle it. Bible says in Malachi, prophet speaking said, bring your tithe in the storehouse. I will open the floodgates of heaven so that you cannot contain them. As you line up on him, he lines up on you. And as he begins to bless you in your coming in and going out, and there's a testimony that goes up, it is God that is doing it. People around you are going to start saying, well, who is this God that you serve? Because I want to know him. You're so smart. Bad things don't happen to you. God's close to you. I'm looking for a God that would be close to me. Living your life on a foundation. Amen? This country was founded on a biblical foundation. Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's new. That they are endowed by their Creator. We just call him God. Can I get a witness on that part? Yahweh has come down and he has endowed us with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there is a blessing, and there is an abundance, and there is a fullness, that as you line your life up on the Lord, that he is right there close. And that there is a blessing that comes when? In the midst of your failure. Because failure is going to come. And your Lord will guide you through it. Tommy had a little challenge the other day. He's smiling today. Failure had come to him. And God took him right through. I think it was Thursday. Thursday or Friday. When was your meeting? Thursday or Friday? Thursday. And he's got to go. I got a meeting. And he's sweating a little bit. He's worried a little bit. Look at him. He's just smiling right now. He ain't worried right now. And he ain't sweating it right now. But he said, I got to go have a meeting with the owner of this house that Mike's been working on. I don't know how he's connected, knows this person with this house. And Mike works so quick. Mike will work quick. That the house was ready a month early. And the owner came to Tommy and said, hey, you're ready to move in. Tommy's like, well, I got to tell the owner I can't move in until July. And I'm like, no way. The Lord has blessed Tommy, but he is packed in the place he's at. And he's looking at this two-bedroom house thinking, this is the blessing of God at a great price. But I'm like, Tommy, this person's not going to eat a month of rent for you. They could rent that house in one day. Can I get a witness on that? The work Mike did on that? He's going, I'm going to talk to him right now. I said, man, offer to pay him a little extra until you pay that 1 month. I said, but let's pray. We're going to pray. Me, you, and George pray, right? He said, Lord Jesus, come right now. Lord, pray. Lift up Tommy to you, faithful man, following your ways. And he goes to that meeting, and he didn't even tell me what happened on that meeting. It was Friday, midday. I said, so what happened in the meeting? Oh, yeah, I got the place. I said, you have to pay extra? I said, no, she's going to hold it for me the whole way. Right. See, you line up on the Lord, and he is close. Can I get a witness on that? And that is this next part. God is close. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord, our God, is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? See, God comes near in prayer. We got prayer coming up Saturday afternoon after Bella's birthday party. You can hang out after the party, eat a little bit of cake, and hang out and come before the Lord and draw near. Why? Because Jesus says, two or three are gathered in his name, I am right there among you. Peter says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Lord paying attention to you. Lord drawing near to you. I'll tell you what, you come in this place, the Lord draws near. Yeah? You feel the presence of the Lord? He wants you to feel his presence. He says, come amongst my people, that my spirit guides them and guides you, and you will come together, and there is a celebration, and it feels good. Amen? And as soon as you leave, you start missing it. Why? Because he wants you back. coming back so that you can get, you got enough for today. You got enough, maybe till Wednesday. I don't know, Rugged said, no, you got enough till Monday night. And come back and get a little bit more. And get a little bit more. Because the Lord's presence is here to fill you up so that you can maintain that relationship with Him. When failure finds you, you got something to grab onto. Because He will guide you through that failure. So what? So you can live in the land. Not just get there, not just win it, but live and find that fullness. Question for you. Do you travel in the presence of the Lord? Get some. Learn how to stay in it. See all these people around here. They have come into the presence of the Lord. God meets them in the midst of failure as it comes upon them and guides them through. And there's a testimony, and He gives you that testimony, gives you that guidance. So why? So you'll glorify Him. Amen. Glory to God. Last thing, be careful. Why? Because it's dangerous out there. They're going into the land, man. It is filled with Canaanites. Be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Gene Bell hit 90. Don't forget the things the Lord has done in your life. Can I get a witness? Don't let them slip from your heart. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Assemble the people. It said, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, that they may teach them to their children. Great display of God at Mount Sinai. Fire. Earthquakes, noise, thunder, lightning, smoke. Incredible display of the power and might of God. Last week we heard of the miraculous recovery. Mary Jo had spine surgery. She had spine surgery four. The pins came out and all this stuff. And they had to do more stuff than they thought when they got in there. And they fused all these vertebrae. And they were surprised. They were blown away by how good she was doing. Hear about Monica, hear about Tommy, hear about the things that God is doing. Don't forget. Don't forget what God is doing. Keep the miracles in mind, write them down. Because you can get to your promise and fail. Come on, Ben. You are going to rest with your Father. And these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land that they are entering. That's a pretty tangible illustration. They will prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. Failure will find you. God will guide you through. Have a problem? Grab onto God. He'll guide you through it. Don't be alone. I don't know where you are found today. Lisa, you want to come up? We have these 8 graduates. Passing into adulthood, passing into the promise, passing into their future with a foundation, with brand new Bibles that aren't any good unless you read them. Right. Amen. Amen. I hope you spend some time in your Word. I hope you feel the presence of the Lord this morning and there's a connection with God and you're going, oh yeah, I feel so good. Because it does feel good. Walk around in the presence of the Lord. You catch it, you keep it. But success can be your challenge. Because you'll go out there. Look at these young people looking good. Don't they look good? Not just because they look like you either. They just look good. And they're smart and they'll try hard and they will find success. And the Jews went into the land and they found success. And in their success, they lost God. See, you can find some success and you can start mixing up the recipe. I'm going to add a little bit in. I don't really need this part right here. I'm doing good. I can stand on my own. I have passed through so many failures. I know how to do it. But it is only God that gets you through those failures. And as you leave God behind, as you mess with the mix, the recipe of success that God has given you, you need it all. Don't add any more. Don't take any out, because this is what you need. It's all you need. When you come to failure, God will guide you through. See, the previous generation couldn't get to the promise, and this generation couldn't live in the promise. You can fail on either side of the promise. I failed on this side of the promise, and the Lord called me out of darkness. There are some who find the promise, life starts getting good, and leave the Lord behind. I was reminded of a family that had come here years ago. Came in on the verge of homelessness and got some stability, got some structure, began to grab onto the Lord, had a child, or got married, had a child, and better jobs came, and better jobs came, and better jobs came, and one day they weren't coming anymore. Life was good. Success was found. Somebody ran into them in the store the other day and said, "Hey, I ran into them." And I asked them, "How's church?" He said, "There is no church. There's just the church of work." And that person told me it wasn't good. See, you can find failure in your success. You can find your failure on the backside of the promise. That's what this generation did. They prostituted themselves to the gods of the land. The previous generation ran away from the promise, said, "There's giants in the land, we can't do it." I don't know which side of the promise you're on today, but you can fail in either one, or you can find the Lord in either one, and He'll guide you through.
Amen.
Amen? Lord, I thank You for each person that is here. I thank You for the extra time we've taken today. I thank You for these graduates, Lord, that move into the promise. And Lord, I pray for the people that are here, Lord, that the promise is right in front of them. Maybe you're here this morning, the Lord's speaking to you and say, "You know, you've been sitting on the wrong side of the promise too long. Time to enter in, I'll take you through." Maybe the Lord is speaking to you this morning, say, "You grabbed onto that promise a while ago and you're kind of running on your own this morning." Either way, Lord is speaking to your heart this morning saying, "Grab onto me, I'll take you through. You're surrounded by failure, and I don't want you to fail this morning. I want you to live in my promise for you." It's amazing how distractions come, amen? Don't be distracted by the work of the enemy this morning. Lord is speaking to your heart. And perhaps your grasp has become slippery or weak. You would say, Lord, I'm surrounded by failure. I'm afraid. I don't want to be afraid anymore, Lord. I want to grab onto You. I want You to guide me through the challenges that I face, Lord. I want to find my success, Lord. I want to grab onto You, and I want to pass through challenge after challenge after challenge. That's you this morning. I just would have you, as the Lord is speaking to your heart, just slide your hand up and say, "Lord, that's me, Lord." Just as you're reaching out to His hand in heaven, that He would reach down and grab you and guide you through your challenge. right over here. Somebody else will say, that's me. Right over here. Somebody else will say, that's me, Lord. Lord, I'm surrounded. My grip is weak here. Somebody else will say, that's me, that's me. Reach your hand up. Just like, Lord, I want to grab onto you when I'm going to pass through. Failure surrounds me. I won't be gobbled up by it. Anybody else say, that's me this morning? Just reach your hand up and say, Lord, don't leave me be. We're going to sing. Would you stand? Lord, I pray for these this morning, Lord, that seek a greater grip on your commands, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit.